I'm here at the Ritz-Carlton Tianjin with Ita Olubogoya, who is a visiting guest chef. You're down from Beijing, aren't you?
Yes, I am based from Beijing, actually. Yes.
But you're not originally from Beijing. Where are you from originally?
I'm born in Barcelona, but I was grow during 20 years in the Basque Country, in Vitoria. And I developed there my passion for food.
Basque is a beautiful region of Spain, known for more than its food, but what kind of food do Basque people like?
Basque people is everything is about seasonal and comfort food. Basque is a completely different culture that is not coming, you know, the Basque language is not coming from the Latin. It's really one of the oldest language in all Europe. And the Basque have their own traditions, their own kind of food and their own culture, different than the other part of Spain. And also if you look geographically, it's isolated by mountains, so only you can have from the sea. So it's a lot of seafood, a lot of mushrooms, a lot of stews, a lot of hot food, not too many cold dishes, and always related with the mountain, with the gorge, the sapes, good beef, pork. Mm.
Do you have a favorite Basque dish?
I have a favorite Basque dish, yes. For me, my favorite Basque dish is marmitaco. Marmitaco is a stew from the north of the area of the Basque Country. From a small, it's a fisherman food. It's when you go to, I go every year to catch tunas in the tuna season. Uh-huh. So we get the small albacores, and they call bonito. Bonito means beautiful.
Yes.
So this bonitos is a stew made with dry peppers, potatoes, garlic, and tuna. So it's really simple stew, but it's amazing.
Sounds fantastic. Now, all this growing up in Basque Country must have led to a pretty interesting, big interest in food. But how did you get started professionally in food?
Professionally starting food at home with my mother, because for me it was magic what was happening that with ingredients that any kid can be interested about. One onion, a little bit of bread, paprika, garlic, olive oil. My mother can make an amazing soup. Of garlic soup. So for me, it's something, she was a magician, because she can take ingredients that don't have any interest and make beautiful things that all of us will enjoy. Also, I get the luck that my parents always took us out, me and my brothers, out of the city every weekend. We was or in the mountain or in the sea. I learned to respect the mountain, I like to respect the sea. We are recollectors. We go to catch mushrooms, to catch any kind of berries during season. We go to fishing. My father teaches us to fishing in apnea, without not any scuba, only your stringers to go down. And we become a quite good fisherman, so we learn to clean the fish from when I was a kid. And with the meat, the same. I was going with my father to the butcher shop and checking how the ribeye was aging for him, and the ribeye with his name. Okay, this one is 15 days, so wait. This cow is 8 years old, so it's a big food culture there. And I grow my passion, so all my brothers and sisters, they decide to go to university, and I decide to go to the culinary school and become a chef. All of them, they are working, and I am the one now lecturing in Harvard. So,
which culinary school?
In Vitoria. Vitoria, we have actually two really good culinary schools. I've been in Mendizorroza, in Diocesanas. It's a wonderful school. Not too big, but with really high.
And what was your first job out of school?
My first job, the thing is, my first job was before school.
Uh-huh.
I already started working before I go to the culinary school in all my Christmas and my holidays. And was at Ed Restige, in a mountain restaurant, in a really small valley restaurant.
And it's a big jump from Basque Country to Beijing. How did you end up in Beijing?
I ended up in Beijing because I grew in the, when all the boom of the gastronomy and be a chef still, when I start being a chef, still not that cool, but it's becoming the trend. And I be in the first year of the Madrid Fusion, all of this congress, all of this that is now internationally happening, I grow in this boiling. And in 2007, I get the invitation to become with all the Star Michelin chef to Hong Kong, to the first trip of chefs making show cooking in Asia. For us, Asia was something really... I had never traveled here, so I didn't know much. But I arrived to Hong Kong and all my mind changed. Everything's open, the smells, everything I get collapsed, I get shocked, I get in love with this land, with this taste, with this smell. So I start thinking that I need to come more often. I get the luck to become like 3-4 more times to make events, Langham Place, Sheraton, with different hotels in 5-star hotels in Hong Kong, and I was working in Spain. In 2010, I get the offer to join a really nice project. Didn't look that big at that stage, but really nice project in Beijing. So actually, in 5 years, we raised a restaurant without a Chinese partner. We passed from 300 meters square to 1,200 meters square place.
That's big.
It's big. The restaurant is still small, but we have a 700 meter square rooftop, 30 meter square private kitchen, 200 meter square club. So we go raising all the fun dining, because we don't make fine dining, we make only fun dining concept. And it was an amazing experience, an amazing challenge to be, after 5 years in China without speaking Chinese, the most awarded Spanish restaurant in all China. So it's...
Yeah. But speaking of Spanish food, you've come down from Beijing to help out executive chef Ornato Antunes at Zest. What can we look forward to? What sort of things are you going to be doing at Zest?
I got to be doing real and authentic Mediterranean flavor, because we need to explain that we are not doing these days Spanish food. We are doing Mediterranean food, based on Spain, based on Catalonia, based on the taste that we learned during all these years. Yes, but trying to bring something that the locals can really understand and can really enjoy, because I don't come here to explain my movie. I come here to make the people enjoy.
Because I've been told that there's a lot more to Spanish cooking than paella.
A lot more than paella.
So what can we look forward to? Have you got any dishes in mind? Have you planned a menu out?
Yes, we plan a menu that the people can try from different parts of Spain, but without saying no to some of the Mediterranean products that traditionally is not Spanish. So we put some pickled chilies that is from the Basque Country, but the people can think that is, for example, Chinese. Or we put some chili mushrooms that the people think, oh, this is not Spanish. Of course, this is Spanish. We also use some chilies, and we also maybe in a lower level. The thing that here for the Spanish food, we are using a lower level of salt. So it's the same. It's only adapt of where we are.
So more, less Spanish than more sort of a fusion of cuisines.
No, it's not for me. Fusion. Every time I hear fusion word, I get a bit scared, because almost 60-80% of the times that I try, that someone tell me, "Oh, you will try today some fusion," I only feel confusion. You know, fusion is a word that was overused a lot in the F&B. And really run use it, because a fusion is something amazing, but it's something that you cannot do. It happens. It's like meditation. The people say, "Oh, I am making meditation." You cannot do meditation. The meditation comes to you, you know, when you arrive to this stage. So fusion is not something that you can do. It's something that happens. To me, take me 5 years. No, right now I am 5 years. So take me 3 years until I be able to understand and to create one dessert with chili and black sesame, because it wasn't my taste, it wasn't my flavor, it was not in my memory how we put. But right now you go to Europe and everyone is, all the chefs is using soya sauce in the kitchens. And it's a taste, or everyone is using ginger to make freshness one dressing. And this, it was a Spanish product, a Mediterranean product. If we take now the Marco Polo trip and we make the inverse, instead of garlic and potatoes, it was not from Europe. So if we put back all the ingredients that Marco Polo bring and we put back in the place, we will get the real cuisine of our land.
Yes.
So for me, fusion, yes, I make fusion, but it's not, maybe you, when you try the food, or the customers, when they try, they can decide for them what is fusion. I don't make fusion food. I make the real taste that I like. But of course, if I am in China, I can put a bit more chili in the recipe. For me, this is not me. It's only interpretate the surroundings of where we are.
Now, you've been in China for 5 years. Do you find that working in kitchens in China, that sometimes it's incredibly frustrating, you just can't get the ingredients you want?
This is another wrong idea from the chef, because this is every chef arrives to China tell me the same. I don't find anything, I cannot cook with taste, because all these don't have taste. I think we are completely spoiled, the chefs, the Western chef, we are really spoiled on the way that we can go in any country in the world out of Asia, and we come out of China, and we can find any ingredient we want from around the world in completely different levels and range of quality, yes. And we are overloaded of information, overloaded of ingredients, and overloaded of marketing and ingredients popping up. This it means that we don't go deeply, more deep in all these products. What is happening in China is the opposite. You don't have that many products that you know about it, because it's not the commercial products that you usually use. But China have absolutely everything. Everything. It's few things that you cannot find from China, but the rest you can find everything. The thing is, you need to be brave, you need to get the respect from the suppliers, you need to go to the markets, you need to have the right people to found it, the right farmers to grow it, and the right searchers or channels to. If you invest time, right now I am getting all kind of products in my restaurant in Beijing, and the people say, you have fresh artichokes? Yes, I have fresh artichokes. Do you have white asparagus in April? Yes, in April, like in Spain, we have white asparagus, because when you go to Spain and you buy asparagus, you look in the label, some of the asparagus is not more from China, from Spain. They are from China, some of them, and from Peru. So it's only fine where is in China, this asparagus, and talk with the farmer to get supply. Instead of grow in China and send to Spain, if we are in China, let's go to get the products from China. So I don't complain about the taste. I find all the products that I need. And I only think that is a misunderstanding from a lot of part of the FMB, that is a country that is a problem with the supplier and with the logistics. It's not a problem of quality of the products.
So what's next for you, Aitor? I mean, after you go back from Zest, you're back in Beijing. Where do you see yourself in a few years' time?
Where I see myself a few years' time? I have a really personal big challenge right now. I am in my fifth year here, like we told, but professionally I am in the moment that I need to decide if I take the challenge of proof that we can grow a business like a businessman, because I always want to be a chef. I always will cook. But what's the goal behind cooking? Right now we are fighting to develop and set up the first Spanish concept of fine dining that can be multiplied in a big scale. I think is, you know, Din Tai Fung, you know for sure Heidi Lau of Hot Pot, yes. But it's so sad that when you travel around the world and you see beautiful places and amazing restaurants and really food that give you feelings, but when people talk about companies, people talk about a franchise, and you think about Spain, they tell you Telepizza, and they tell you Pans and Company, and you feel, wow, Telepizza is like a McDonald's of pizzas, and Pans and Company, so it's not any big company from Spain. So the thing is, we are too much showing playing the showcase game in Spain, and so how good we are. But out of José Andrés in the United States, any other chef proved that with our knowledge, with our genuine way of expression, and our way of living, this lifestyle, we can change in a really profitable, high quality business. We're not talking about make a McDonald's or make a pizza. Of course, you can standardize and it's a business that make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I need to make a business model that I can eat the food that I like and I can free feel proud of the food that I serve. If not, I don't go to.
Defeats the purpose,
I suppose. So I see myself taking back the challenge, trying to give another flip to the omelette, another twist to the business, and challenge back myself to achieve another step.
One final question that I love to ask all chefs. What's the one ingredient you can't live without?
Olive oil.
Olive oil. I knew you would say that. But why?
Why is olive oil?
Mm.
Because the oil is the... Okay, studying any culture, you arrive to any country and the people start checking the spices, start checking... It's wrong. Knowing for any gastronomic culture in the world what oil they use and what is the use for what they use this oil, we can know a lot more than other things. Mm. Understanding the use of the oils or the fats of the different kind of cuisines, we understand what is this culture, what is this cuisine, and how we can adapt to it. Because we are trying from Spain, bringing the best olive oil to China, and the people is taking in the mornings like a medicine. Because we cannot put olive oil in a wok at 400 degrees.
No.
Because we'll burn and we'll be
horrible.
So I love olive oil, yes, but for me, the oil, if you understand how we use the olive oil in Spain, you understand our culture. If you understand how they use the maggia and the sesame in China, you understand their culture. If you understand how they fry with the chamomile oil or the avocado oil, the Japanese, you understand about their culture. So for me, oil for me first represents my culture. Second, I cannot cook without olive oil. I cannot make a fry egg. I cannot poach a potato. I cannot pan fry a pram. I will be like cooking without taste for myself. You take me the garlic. Okay, you take me the, I don't know, the squid, the ink, the paprika. A lot of chefs don't know how to make Spanish food without paprika. I will survive. But if you take me the olive oil, it will be so complicated for me.
Aitor, if people want to find out more about you and the restaurants you work with, is there a website or somewhere they can go to find out more information?
We don't have website in Migas. We are 5 years. We are really serious, but we don't have any website. But checking Migas Beijing, is a lot of posts. We are a really beautiful rooftop, really popular. And checking about me is really easy to follow by Facebook, by WeChat, any Google searcher. Yes, in any Google searcher, it's more than 3,000 posts. Next week I will be in the front page of the Time Out, so will be easy to.
We can find you.
Yes, easily.
Right. Aitor, it's been lovely talking to you today. Thank you very much for taking time out to talk to us, and good luck with your work at Zest.
Thank you so much.